Are you a good person? You know, I've asked that question of dozens and dozens of people over my lifetime. And most of the time they'll respond by saying, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. I wonder why they say that. I mean, obviously recognize they do a few things wrong. I think the first reason that they say that is because they just don't feel bad. I mean, they don't feel like a bad person. I mean, if you go to a doctor, the first question he's going to ask you if you're in a medical exam is, how are you feeling? And you say, well, I'm feeling fine. But then, of course, he's going to examine you, and then he's going to run some tests. And it's the tests that are actually going to tell how you're doing, not the response that you make when he asks you how you're feeling. Second reason I think that a lot of people would tend to say that they're good people is because what we do is we compare ourselves to other people around us, and by that standard, we look pretty good. But usually we're picking out people who are worse than us to compare ourselves with. But think about it. If you were driving down the road, you're speeding, and a police officer pulls you over, and he looks in the window and he says, you know, I clocked you doing 65 miles per hour. It was a 55 mile per hour zone. And you responded by saying, oh, yeah? Well, there's drivers going 75 miles an hour. They're over the speed limit, so you got to let me go. Would that work? No, there's a set speed limit that you've exceeded, and whether others were speeding faster than you is irrelevant to your case. Well, in the same way, God has a set of standards, moral laws we would call them, that if we violate them, we become guilty, liable to judgment. Some of those commandments are found in what's called the Ten Commandments. You've probably heard of them. There's a movie by that name. Let's use them as our diagnostic tool to see what kind of shape that you're in morally. So let's ask some questions. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you respond to them honestly, and see how you've done in keeping God's Ten Commandments. Okay, here's your first question, your first test. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime? How many lies have you told in your lifetime? I mean, like to your parents as a kid, to your friends, teachers. Did you ever call into work sick when you actually weren't? Have you ever exaggerated a story to make yourself look good? I think most of us would have to admit we've told quite a number of lies. Now, here's a question. What do we call a person who lies? We call them a liar. Ask you another one. Have you ever stolen anything in your life, no matter how small or insignificant? Now, strangely enough, a lot of people will immediately say, no, no. Really? You've never taken anything as a kid that didn't belong to you? You've never downloaded music that you had no right to? You never went longer on a break at work than you were allowed? I mean, isn't that a form of theft from the company? Well, when you put it that way, we've probably all stolen something somewhere along the way. Well, what do we call a person who steals? We call him a thief. How about another one? Have you ever used God's name in vain? That means like as a cuss word. Well, you might think, well, yeah, but big deal. I don't mean anything by it. But actually, that's what vain means. It means to use God's name in a derogatory, even a meaningless way. We might not think it's a big deal when we put God's name or Jesus together with a bunch of swear words, but he does. And it's called blasphemy, and it's a very serious issue. The Bible says, God himself says, I will not leave those guiltless who take my name in vain. I want another one. Have you ever had sex outside of marriage or with someone other than your spouse? So like premarital sex or extramarital sex. Well, the Bible calls that adultery. Now, there are people, probably plenty of people, they feel good on this one, because maybe they were even virgins when they got married and they haven't physically cheated on their spouse, so they feel that they're in bounds on this one. But Jesus said adultery has to do with your heart and your mind as well as your body. He put it this way. He said, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a person with lust? I mean, every guy who's seen a porn magazine or visited a website would have to say yes. And every woman who's read a sexually graphic romance novel would also have to say yes. So we're probably all guilty of this one. What about murder? You might think, oh, at least this is one commandment I have not violated. But are you sure? Jesus got to the heart of the matter in this command when he said this. You've heard that it was said by the ancients, meaning their ancestors, you shall not commit murder. and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Have you ever referred to a person as an idiot, a fool, a moron, a worthless piece of blankety blank? All those terms attack the dignity of another person. And Jesus said saying such things makes us guilty enough to be thrown into hell. Now, we could go on through many commandments, individual ones. But Jesus said that you can really boil all the commandments down to two. And here's the two that he gave. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first one. And the second, he said, is connected. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. I know I haven't kept those two commands consistently for any 24-hour period in my life. And neither have you. So let me summarize the results of our test so far. You, like me, are guilty of lying and stealing, adultery, using God's name in vain, failing to love God with your whole being, and love your neighbor just as much as yourself. So based on your record keep, or the record of keeping God's commandments, on Judgment Day, do you think you'd be found innocent or guilty? Now, at this point, people sometimes say, well, innocent. But they just admitted that they were guilty. Or they'll object by saying, yeah, but I've done good, a lot of good things in my life, and that should count for something. But what if you tried that with a judge in court? Your Honor, I know that I've done many bad things. I know that I've committed crimes. I raped and murdered and stolen. But I also volunteered at a charity, and I mowed the neighbor's lot. Yard one time when they were on vacation. Is he going to let you go? No way. He would say, that's not relevant to your case. Those good deeds cannot undo your bad deeds, your crimes that you've committed. So now you must be sentenced. So when you're standing before God and he finds you guilty, which he will, for we're all guilty, and certainly I'm included in that, would he send you to heaven or hell? Well, the answer is hell. But some people at this point, and I've heard people say this, well, I would just apologize and tell him I'm sorry, and then he would let me into heaven. But here's the problem with that. Being sorry doesn't undo our crimes. Gee, judge, I'm sorry that I murdered that child. Now can I go home? The judge, if he's just, must punish the crime. And God, if he's just, must punish sin. To not do so would be to say that justice doesn't matter to him. That's like saying, oh, it's okay what the Nazis did to the Jews in the camps, or what that stepfather did when he molested a little girl. It's not just that God should punish the guilty. According to the Bible, he must punish the guilty. But here's the problem. We're all guilty. Therefore, we all deserve to be punished. But is there any way for God to forgive us without compromising his justice? Now, if that question doesn't interest you, it can only be because you don't believe your sins are that big of a deal. They may not be to you, but they are to God. And you and I have offended God by our sins. But if your conscience is starting to really bother you because you're feeling the weight of the enormous amount of guilt that you have before God, then you should go on to the next segment where we discuss the question, how does Jesus solve the sin problem?